राजकुमारा अस्मानत्र शिशो सुकुमारा पाहि जी.
गोपाल चांपु, चैप्टर 6, ब्रेकिंग द कार्ट एंड अदर पास टाइम्स.
अस्मानत्र शिशो सुकुमारा पाहि चिरम ब्रज राजकुमारा.
The next day at the splendid assembly, Snigdhakantha in joy began speaking. O Madhukanta with sweet throat, please hear. Day by day Krishna revealed his beauty and gave joy to his devotees. This is summarized as follows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or 8 people, alone or in pairs, in groups or many groups, infants, youths, elders, or middle-aged persons enter the house to see the child. Playing with him, they made the child laugh and they laughed. Relatives from the mother's and father's side came in excitement to see the child with a lotus navel, whose eyes were dark as lampblack. Daily their eyes were filled with delight on lifting up the attractive cover and touching him while smiling. He had disheveled locks of hair and eyes fickle like the Kanjana bird. He had a smile playing on his face with shining tilak of rochana and kumkum. The dark-complexioned child appeared splendid when 3 months old. The child looked about affectionately, smiling gently. He would move his legs and make small sounds and desired to be held. If he was not held, he would cry, and if held, he would laugh. Drinking milk, he would sleep and then awaken joyfully. After 3 months, according to the constellations, when the moon was in Rohini constellation, Yashoda held the bathing festival for the child. At that time, an attractive bed studded with gems was arranged in the house with a little perfumed pillow and fine sheets. The child shone like a sapphire on that bed. It appeared that a blue lotus was floating on the Ganga, or Narayan was resting on the milk ocean. The child, lying on his back, gave fame to his mother and joy to his father. Full of strength and most attractive, he turned over on the morning when the moon entered Rohini constellation. Seeing that the child was sleeping with his side pressing the bed down, the nurse informed Yashoda. Filled with bliss and desiring auspiciousness of the child at the order of Nanda, she called the women and arranged for a huge festival which would give happiness. During the festival, there were women assigned to protect the house. Those who were called to protect the place were ordered as follows. The child's birth constellation has arrived, and there will be a celebration of the child's turning over. Many have come for this festival. You should remain here to protect the house. Repeatedly she said this. What thief resided in Braj? If there is a thief, the child will steal his heart. The rites were performed with colorful music, auspicious songs, and chanting of Vedic mantras by the best of the brahmanas. Then the child was bathed, clothed in yellow cloth, and ornamented. He was protected with mantras and glances. To manifest the highest joy, women came from everywhere and all were engaged in activities. They made the child lie in bed in the lower part of a cart as huge as a house, which was standing in the yard, and placed young boys of 5 years' age around it. The bed was like a swing in the midst of 4 supporting pillars. The swing had coral feet and an emerald slab at its base. It was covered with red silk ribbons and an even mattress of cotton. The baby was situated on top of this gently swinging bed. From the top, various colorful pieces of cloth hung down. Touching these with his hands, the child made sounds and laughed. After the worship as performed by the brahmanas, gifts were offered. This lasted for 1.5 praharas without cessation. Another demon sent by Kamsa to find newly born children was in the sky, thinking, this child who has killed Putana is in the lower part of a huge car. It appears no one can harm the child. Putana died on taking a disguised form. I will not take another form, but will do activities to fulfill my goal. He then entered the cart, unseen by others. When the demon entered the cart, the wheels sank into the earth and the axle became tilted. At that time, the child wanted to drink milk, but could not get any. Disturbed, he kicked up his foot, tender as a new lotus petal. In doing this, the cart without wings flew up in the air like a demon bird out of eagerness and then fell to the earth. Arjuna describes this in the Vishnu Dharma. Krishna broke the cart with the tip of his foot, even though the cart was tall as a palm tree and very heavy, long and wide. Who except you could do this? This demon did not have a form, and thus Krishna destroyed him just by his appearance in the sky. It is amazing that it happened simultaneously, like the tall fruit falling and the crow landing on the branch. Krishna killing this demon is known as Shakatasura Bhanjana in the 108 names of Krishna mentioned in the Brahmanda Purana. At this time, the devatas spoke about Krishna in poetic language. The cart was standing in one part of my house. You entered this cart, and because of the cart, you went upwards. I cried incessantly, if you died, it is not my fault. When the cart made groaning noises, people in fear ran in all directions, saying, what is that? When the cart fell and they saw the child, they became completely bewildered and wept. Out of control, Yashoda, ignoring the onlookers like a woman possessed, quickly grabbed her child. When her limbs became afflicted with trembling, many women quickly came and held her up. When the cart fell, there was a rumbling sound like clouds. What is that? What is making that sound? It is the cart. What happened to that cart? It turned over. How? Suddenly it happened. Was that good? It was the mercy of Vasudeva. With such discussion, the leaders of Braj entered the area and saw the broken cart. Biting their lips, they stood there in astonishment for some time. Seeing Nanda quickly coming from the outside to the inner area, all came and stood on both sides at a distance, giving him a place to proceed. Understanding what happened with the cart from the shouting of the people, he touched the child held by his mother to his forehead and gazed at his limbs. They became peaceful and then asked the boys who were around the cart. They pointed their forefingers at one boy. That boy spoke when the others stopped speaking. Stuttering, the boy spoke, "Hear from me." When he raised his foot and touched the cart went upwards like a bird. All the other boys, imitating him, began to laugh. The affectionate elders then dismissed the talk of the boys. But they had some doubt because they knew that Putana had been killed. After creating auspiciousness for the child by invoking good fortune, bathing the child, satisfying the brahmanas, and getting the blessings of all present, Nanda returned the child to Yashoda's lap. Busy with caring for the child, she placed him on a bed in the middle of the house. The people then restored the huge cart to its previous position. Madhukanta then said, "O child, it is impossible for a small child to upset the huge cart. Please consider and say, what does this mean?" Snigdhakanta said, "O respectable brother, this is not so surprising, since Yogamaya has made the impossible possible. Do not ask about this again." Madhukanta then said with a smile, "Then what happened?" Snigdhakanta said, "Nanda consulted with his older and younger brothers. These two boys should live together because their mothers are fond of caring for both. They are attached to both and they both are eager to do the right household duties. It is difficult to protect them separately. I am waiting only for a favorable day. It is said by the learned that one should do as one desires. Tell this to the brahmanas and when they determine the proper time, arrange that the two boys stay together quickly with music, chanting mantras, and prayers. Gazing at each other, stunned from a long time on the pretext of tears, the two boys' hearts melted. From childhood, the two boys had attachment as brothers. When they saw each other, their attachment spread joy through the universe. From the beginning of childhood, Balaram and Krishna were together. They were the white rays and blackness of the moon. On all the festive days, these two, whose qualities could not be counted, met with other young boys. Telling the story in the proper order, the story will be in a different order from what is narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Skillful poets put the pastimes in proper order for taste. Though Shukadev spoke from intoxication of prema without following the proper order. The younger brother had passed a little less than 100 days, and Balaram had passed slightly more days. The mothers were with the children at all times, and the father was there sometimes. They would ask the boys, "Is he part of our family?" when Nanda arrived. When their childhood became prominent and they recognized people, splendor spread in the village and the universe like an ocean of nectar. Thinking of the appropriate day for giving the names to the children, Vasudev decided on highly qualified Garga, an ocean of austerity. Going to him alone, he requested Garga to make arrangements for his sons. With a smile, Garga said, "I know many things, but now give me instruction on what I should do." Vasudev said, "Go to Braj quickly and perform the sanskaras of the second born for the two boys living together, without the thread ceremony or the marriage ceremony." The sage said, "That is proper. I will do as you say." When Garga arrived on the morning of the 100th day, the village was attractive with millions of calves dancing about, jumping here and there. Since the cows had gone to the forest, the pens were empty. Nanda brought only a servant with him to see the beauty of the ceremony. In that pure place, using the 8-syllable mantra, he performed worship of a shalagram called Lakshmi Narayan, whom he had worshipped from childhood, and who gave bliss to all by his excellent marks. When he had finished his worship, Garga, the most knowledgeable guru, the best of all sages, with speech like the Samaveda, arrived. Seeing the calves prick up their ears, Nanda understood that someone had come. Garga saw Nanda, who was like the rising moon, not too old, with dazzling face and eyes. He was solidly built, tall, with long arms spreading joy in all directions. He wore the white cloth and was ornamented in his ears and on his hands, which shone attractively. He astonished the universe with the affection he had for his son. Nanda had desired for a long time that Garga come to Braj, since the sage was worthy of worship everywhere. Why should he not be seen? He recognized Garg for being so famous. Nanda, with great pleasure, as of having drunk nectar, quickly offered him his seat and offered respects with folded hands, humility and great devotion, as if he were a lord. He worshipped Garga, shining like Brahman, with many articles which remained after worshipping the Lord. He spoke, "It is not necessary to ask about your health, since when you come, all is auspicious. But the wise ask expert questions from you, who is filled with auspiciousness for their welfare. It is impudent to ask you to be welcome, since you are most worshipable. As it is suitable in deity worship, it is suitable for you as well. One should not satisfy a person by words alone, though he has all wealth. Those who are incomplete in any way should be made complete. The devotee does not desire his own benefit, but works for others' benefit. Since you have come for others' benefit, it is proper to tell you about the activities to be done. You know astrology and the Vedas. These are for the benefit of others. I ask you about this. Be merciful and shower these two boys, one born from me and another from Vasudeva, with the nectar of your knowledge." Hearing these words, Garga spoke in a choked voice. If the donor gives what the asker desires, they both obtain benefit. How much can the benefit be described? Praising the sage, Nanda whispered in the ear of the servant, "Do this, now do this." He then had the sage inform him about Vasudeva, who was being harassed by evil Kamsa. While they were discussing, the servant, understanding the purpose of the visit, entered the inner chambers and brought the sons on their mother's laps. Putting the mothers in front, holding a gold plate with flowers and sandalwood, he came by a solitary route. Seeing from a distance the two children on the chest of their mothers, he quickly rose as if influenced by mantras or gems. The reason for respect was the power of the Lord and nothing external. Seeing the two boys playing in the laps of their mothers, his eyes stopped blinking and he could not prevent tears from flowing from his eyes. The mothers with their sons approached humbly and in silence offered respects to the sage. He gave blessings in a loud voice. O son of Nanda, give bliss to your father, mother, and all persons related to their dynasties, and to all friends of the dynasties, and to the whole universe. O son of Vasudeva, give bliss to all. Garga, who had pronounced blessings, sat on his seat by the request of Nanda. In front and somewhat at a distance were the two boys. They were like Vishnukranta creepers with white and black flowers. On the order of the sage, the two women sat down. Garga's knowledge and senses became absorbed in the boys. Nanda waited for a few moments and then, with folded hands, expressed his desire. A qualified person can make another person qualified. One who gives qualification gets his qualification from the Vedic knowledge. Among all knowers of the Veda, you are the best. Please perform the samskaras for the two boys born of the twice born. Garga said, though you are born in a Kshatriya dynasty, your mother's side comes from respectable Vaishyas. Brahmanas who have become gurus for Vaishyas should do your samskaras. I should not do them. Nanda said, that is true, but sometimes with special qualifications, the normal rule is replaced by a special rule. A person who has faith in the path of renunciation with non-violence will reject violence to animals and sacrifices. Your position as a Brahmana achieves importance by the general rule. How can that important position be decreased by our dynasty which has strong faith? You know this by many scriptural proofs. Therefore, do not consider anything else at the moment. After you perform the name ceremony, by that beneficial act, our priests will benefit. After considering, Garga spoke something which should be kept secret. What you say is true. The killer of Devaki's sons, evil Kamsa, will be worried by the words of Durga. She said, a famous guru of the Yadu dynasty will perform samskara for the child. Because of Vasudeva's worship, she became substituted for this child. Divine messages are never false. Otherwise, my doing this would be fully condemned. Hearing this, Nanda became disturbed for a moment. Again, with the chanting of the auspicious prayers, everything would be proper. Thinking in this way, he spoke. Since your association is auspicious, secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth here in the cowshed of my house, without the knowledge of anyone else, even my relatives. Garga said, let that be. By your desire, things will become auspicious. The time has become suitable unexpectedly. Let the name ceremony begin. He then performed the invocation for auspiciousness. Indicating the elder brother, he spoke. Since he will be praised by friends for having the best qualities and will give pleasure to unlimited people, he will be called Rama. Because he is strong, he will be called Bala. Because he is equally divided between you, Nanda, and the Yadus, including Vasudeva, he will be called Sankarshan. indicating the younger child, he said. In Satya, Treta, and Kali Yugas, he is white, red, and yellow according to his particular mood. Because he is Shama, the root of the forms, he is called Krishna in this birth. Because your son was born from Vasudeva in a previous birth, he will be called Vasudeva. If I do not know all the names describing his qualities and activities, and do not know all his forms which are praised by all people, others certainly cannot know him. In bliss, Nanda said to the sage, "All this does not stay in my mind. You, being omniscient, are my shelter." Nanda again spoke, "Please inspect the good and bad results for my son." When he said this, Garga, filled with the power of Brahman, laughed and inspected the good and bad signs of the child. These indications have been described in the astrological text called Ka Manikya, the sky ruby. The moon, Mars, Mercury, and Saturn are exalted. The ascendant is Taurus. Jupiter is in Pisces, the 11th house. The sun is in Leo, Venus is in Libra, and Rahu is in Scorpio. It is the 8th lunar day of the dark month. The birth took place at midnight on Wednesday during Rohini constellation. At this time, lotus-eyed Krishna, Param Brahma, was born. The moon was in Taurus, Mercury was in Virgo, Saturn was in Libra, and Mars was in Capricorn. Since your son was born in the year called Vibhavashu, the universe in Vasu will be pleased with him. Since he was born in Rohini constellation, he will be the lord of thousands of cows. Since his ascendant is Taurus, he will be the lord of millions of bulls. Since his planets are dignified, he will have great majesty. The sages will concentrate their minds on him because of his power. He will speak all scriptures by his power and destroy the demons while protecting the devotees. It is useless to say that you, as the mother and father, will attain good fortune. He will be auspicious for the whole world and for auspicious Shiva. His amazing actions will produce great bliss for many people. He will protect the devatas while afflicting the demons, proud of their previous powers. It is not surprising that he will deliver you, since you have prema, for he will also liberate all people with false sentiments. O Nanda, your son with all good qualities is equal to Narayana. Be careful to protect this child with all your power, wealth, and fame. Because you have controlled Narayana, you have such a son. O King, he will not be able to protect himself unless you help him. You will give him many names since he has qualities equal to Narayana. I have thus in brief given the meaning of his chart. Hearing this, Nanda was happy. Garga again spoke, "By your desire I have come and will perform the samskaras of the twice born for these two boys. However, piercing the ears and cutting hair cannot be done. See, already there are small holes in his ears. I cannot cut this fine hair. You should do the first grain ceremony. Taking the thread, graduation and marriage, you cannot do by your own efforts. I will do these, since I am knowledgeable of time and special sacrifices." For a few moments, Garga just gazed at the two boys, his mind enchanted. When he saw that the two children were completely attached to their parents, he thought they might be aware of his disguised speech and became reserved. With that reserved mind, he gave orders to Nanda and then left. But the two boys remained in his mind as if they were still situated in Braj. As he left, Nanda followed him, offering respects along with the two boys. Garga said, "May you remain prosperous with the cows and your son. I am going now." Nanda began thinking of his good fortune internally because of having this beautiful son. "After a long time, I have got a son. Because of such full bliss, I should think that he is equal to Narayana. The great souls have indicated this. I have thus become full of bliss. Secretly, he sent millions of cows with gifts, as well as gold coins red like the Indragopa insects to Garga through coward men. Please use this for your own and others' sacrifices. Calling the local brahmanas, he then gave joy to all by celebrating a huge name-giving ceremony publicly. Understanding this, Madhukanta spoke with a choked voice. The name-giver gives fame to another person by giving him a name. In this case, the name-giver Garga became famous by giving names to Krishna. Madhukanta thought, Garga has said that Krishna is Hari Sama, that is equal to Narayana. This is correct. Taking the phrase as a Bahuvrihi compound instead of Tatpurusha compound, Krishna is equal to Narayan, the meaning becomes Krishna is superior to Narayan, he to whom Narayan is similar. He spoke aloud, You have not described the name-giving ceremony in detail or the giving of grains at all. Please describe this. Snigdhakanta spoke with a smile. The name-giving and grain-giving both took place in Braj as great festivals. This is my desire. I cannot describe anything else. Snigdhakanta then spoke with bliss. Please hear what happened next. After Garga had given the names and left, from that time Nanda and his relatives called Krishna and Balaram by those names. When Krishna and Balaram listened with attentive ears, gazed with their eyes, mistook a call for their brother as a call for them, and made their ornaments jingle in a solitary place, all the relatives became filled with bliss. When Yashoda, whose complexion was like that of a rain cloud, called her son by the name given by Nanda, she looked at his sweet, happy face and heard his indistinct sounds, which were like nectar for her ears, and she spread bliss throughout the universe. The yard of Nanda's house became the arena for their crawling. Children who could walk came and became joyful in the company of Krishna and Balaram. Even today the poets sing, Glory to you with Balaram. You give happiness to Yashoda by crawling, showing your infant pastimes in your smile. You destroy the suffering of hundreds of people. You carefully move your feet in order to give happiness by the sound of your bells. You enter fearlessly into all the yards. You do not consider the dirt while happily playing. Associating with unknown people, you give them benefit. You go to your mother quickly. You hide yourself in the cloth covering Yashoda's breast. You hold the breast flowing with milk in your mouth. Like a lion, you smear your limbs with dirt. You are beautiful with dirt mostly removed by Yashoda. Drinking milk of one breast, you hold the other breast, and your lustrous face is covered with milk. Though the Kumara age generally lasts for 5 years, in this case, it lasted 3 years. But that youthful period of Kaishora, which derides previous and later ages, does not waver. That is, it is present at all times. O King Parikshit, within a very short time, both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula with their legs by their own strength without the need to crawl. When Prajuna at 1 year's age came from the house of Shambhara, Shukadeva Goswami says, Thus the women became bashful and hid themselves here and there, thinking he was Krishna. When he was an infant, he was also at no other stage in the Kaishora age. This means that he does not give up the sweetness inherent in his mature body, although he is still small. The actual Kaishora age manifests with the feelings of love for the gopis. That bhava is described. Longing within the gopi for Krishna desires to actualize itself as satisfaction. When satisfaction decreases, longing increases. Though from infancy, the actions of longing and satisfaction did not desire to manifest clearly, those actions manifested as tender sweetness. Please taste the sweetness of the pastimes in the following way in verses such as the following. O King Parikshit, within a very short time both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs by their own strength, without the need to crawl. from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 26. Teaching Krishna to walk. In teaching him to walk, she would let go of his hands, but when he fell, she would quickly go to him. Going two or three steps and falling, he would cry, "O son, O son!" Saying this, Yashoda would kiss him and rock him gently. When he showed his strength and walked a little further, looking at his mother's smiling face, he would give her bliss. When Krishna walked even further from her, he would go slowly, but when he came towards her, he would come quickly and smile. Learning to talk. First, the honey of sweet words flowed from the mouth of Balaram. The nurse made Krishna repeat the words. He said, "Ma, ma, ta, ta," and gave joy to his parents and all of Braj. The wonderful appearance of his teeth slightly showing and his pronunciation of words astonished Yashoda. "Are you fit for the world?" "Yes." "Can you protect our friends?" "Yes." In this way, the mother and son conversed. I remember Krishna, the good fortune of Braj, repeating new words like a parrot, pointing at objects and asking about them with his finger, being taught words by his nurses. Taught by the mothers, Balaram learned to call Krishna by his name, and Krishna called Balaram older brother. When asked the names of his body parts by an elder, he had his mother teach him the names, and he would touch each limb with his finger. The brothers began to talk to each other. "Come, let us go and play." "Mother will be angry." "No, she won't." In this way, Krishna and Balaram talked. Now hear of the naughty nature of the boys. They wanted to touch the fangs of a ferocious animal, the hood of an angry snake, the horn of a cow, the flame of a blazing fire, and the sharp edge of a knife. Prevented by their mothers, they became bold. The mothers were astonished by that boldness and forgot their household chores and their bodies. "Naughty child, do not go far away. There is some fierce beast living here." Hearing those words of their mothers, they became more curious to go. It was natural that the mothers should be afraid that their children would touch some dangerous objects. But poets say that such a situation indicates showing their power. If an animal showed a ferocious nature, the boys remained calm. Those fond of inference say that those boys would destroy all these sharp-toothed creatures. Gradually, they became intelligent enough to fool their mothers. "Fickle child, do not go there." Hearing these words of their mothers, they would laugh and with deception do whatever they wanted to do. Though they were young, no one could understand where the boys went for play. If they knew they were there, the boys would hide and no one could detect them. The two mothers surrounded the path and, engaging clever nurses all around, they would catch the fleeing boys. Seeing them laugh or cry, the mothers would bring them home and would get pleasure in rubbing them with oil, bathing them, dressing them, feeding them with milk, and putting them to sleep. When the assembly heard this description and smiled, Krishna of Kaishora age, the leader of Nanda's family, along with Balaram, made his face attractive with a slight smile and gave delight to everyone's eyes. In order to conclude, Snigdhakanta said, "O Nanda, you have given birth to a son who bewilders the sages with his fickle acts in childhood." When the joyful talks were completed, noble Nanda sent the speakers to their residences with ornaments and cloth as on previous days. Thank you.